In John 19, 28 through 29, if you have your Bibles this morning. This out of the way. And you know we've been talking about the words from the cross, the last words that Jesus spoke. And here in John it says, Jesus, knowing that all things had already been accomplished to fulfill the Scripture, said, I am thirsty. And a jar of sour wine was standing there, and they put some on a sponge, and they soaked it with this sour wine upon a branch of hyssop and brought it up to his mouth. You know, it had been a long day for Jesus, and he had been arrested in the middle of the night. He had been bounced around from courthouse to courthouse. He had been slapped around, pushed around. He'd been mocked. He had been beat. He had been whipped. He had had a crown of thorns forced upon his head. They made him carry a cross. They nailed the cross into his, or the nails into his hands and into his feet. And he was given no food. And not for one moment had anybody offered anything to him to drink or to eat. And now he says, I'm thirsty. And I think, no wonder, you know, he was thirsty. There was a exposure to all the elements, all the brutality that he had went through. And it was hot and it was dry. And the wind and the heat and the sun. And then he'd been on the cross for 6 hours at this point. And he says, I am thirsty. That statement really shows us, and it shows me, the humanity of Christ. All of us here this morning have been thirsty at one time in our life. And to be thirsty is common for us humans. It is how our complex body tells us that we need something. Jesus was fully God, but we must never forget that He was fully human too. He lived in a body of flesh and blood just like each of us do. He knew what it was to experience pain. He knew what it was to experience loneliness and sadness. He knew what it was like to have joy. And He knew what it was like to get angry. Jesus felt the same emotions and experienced the same feelings that all of us do. In John chapter 1 puts it this way, in the beginning was the Word, and the Word was with God, and the Word was God. He was in the beginning with God, and the Word became flesh and dwelt among us. And we saw His glory, glory as of the only begotten Son, the only begotten from the Father, full of grace and truth. He became flesh just like you and I, and with all the emotions, with all the wants and needs as humans have. The book of Philippians also says, have this attitude in yourselves, which was also in Christ Jesus, who although He existed in the form of God, did not regard equality with God a thing to be grasped, but emptied Himself, taking the form of a bondservant and being made in the likeness of men. Philippians 2:5-7 says, He was made into the likeness of men. He was made like you and me. He took on flesh and bone, and because He is fully human, we have this promise in the book of Hebrews also, for we do not have a high priest who cannot sympathize with our weaknesses, but one who has been tempted in all things as we are, yet without sin. Also in the book of Hebrews it says this, but we do see Him who was made for a little while lower than the angels, namely Jesus, because of the suffering of death, crowned with glory and honor, so that by the grace of God he might taste death for everyone. He became flesh and bone, and because of that fact, he experienced the same physical needs that you and I experience. He became thirsty. Christ came not to make us like God, but to make us better humans, to show us that we could be good humans. We cannot overlook, though, the sovereignty of Christ. As I think about this saying, Jesus cried of thirst because he was truly thirsty. But it's hard for me to comprehend why he would allow himself to even be in this position. Because it is Christ who created the streams and the rivers, the lakes and even the oceans, and all the water of the world was created by him. And if you recall the verse that I read in John chapter 1, in the beginning was the Word, and the Word was with God, and the Word was God, and he was in the beginning God. All things came into being through him, and apart from him, nothing came into being that has come into being. God, the creator of all things, everything in it that we see here was created by him, and yet he is thirsty. Jesus is the creator of the universe. In Colossians, we read this. He is the image of the invisible God, the firstborn of all creation. For by him all things were created, both in the heavens and on earth, visible and invisible. Whether thrones or dominions or rulers or authorities, all things have been created through him and for him. Colossians 1, 15 and 16. And if you recall the miracle, the first miracle that Jesus performed, do you remember what it was? It's where he turned the water into wine. But yet here from the cross, he says, I am thirsty. To me, that's a profound thing, a profound thought. I can't really comprehend why God would do this. All the water in the universe belonged to him. But that's not all. You know, on two different occasions, Jesus declared that those who drank of his water would never thirst again. In John, it says this, whoever drinks of the water that I will give him shall never thirst. But the water that I will give him will become in him a well of water, springing up to eternal life. John 4:14. Later, John says in 6 verse 35, he says, I am the bread of life, and he who comes to me will not hunger, and he who believes in me will never thirst again. And yet, here on the cross that he is hanging there, he says, I am thirsty. Again, in the book of Philippians, chapter 2, verse 8, it says, being found in the appearance as a man, he humbled himself by becoming obedient to the point of death, even death on the cross. He humbled himself. He humbled himself. He gave up his godly powers and submitted to the obedience of God, even to the point of death. And this death was upon the cross. We cannot also overlook the fulfilled prophecies of Christ. If we go back again in our text this morning, Jesus, knowing that all things had already been accomplished to fulfill the Scripture, he says this, I am thirsty, in John 19:28. Jesus knew that all things were now accomplished. And he had endured hours of torment. And he had endured hours of suffering. And he fulfilled his responsibilities. And he had not to avoid, he did not even try to avoid taking on his responsibilities. And he didn't do anything to avoid them. He didn't do anything to avoid his time on the cross. And it was then that Jesus said these words, "I'm thirsty." Do you recall, remember last week when we talked briefly about Jesus fulfilling prophecies of the Old Testament? Where I read, do you recall there in Psalm 22 where he said, "They pierce my hands and my feet, and I can count all my bones. They look, they stare at me. They divide my garments among them, and for my clothing they cast lots." In Psalms 22:16. "They pierced his hands and his feet, and they divided his garments and cast lots on his cloak." And all of that has been fulfilled now. But that's not all. You know, there's over 300 prophecies in the Bible about Jesus. And this is just one of them here. This is only just one that we're talking about. The prophecies about Jesus, the Messiah would be born of a woman in Genesis 3:15, spoken of in Matthew 1:20. The Messiah would be born in Bethlehem, spoken in Micah 5, verse 2, and also in Matthew 2, verse 1. Messiah would be born of a virgin, Isaiah 7:14, and revealed in Matthew 1, 22 and 23. Messiah would be heir to the King David's throne, 2 Samuel 7:12 and 13, revealed in Luke. Messiah would be called Emmanuel, Isaiah 7:14. Messiah would spend a season in Egypt, in Hosea 11:1. A massacre of children would happen at Messiah's birthplace. It talks about that in Jeremiah 31:15. A messenger would prepare the way for the Messiah, spoken of in Isaiah 40, verse 3 and 5. Messiah would be preceded by Elijah, Malachi 4, 5 and 6. Messiah would be declared the Son of God, Psalms 2 and 7. Messiah would be betrayed, Psalms 41, 9. Messiah's price, money, would be used to buy Potter's Field in Zechariah 11, 12. Messiah would be falsely accused in Psalms 35, 11. Messiah would be silent before his accusers in Isaiah 53. Messiah would be spat upon and struck, Isaiah 50, verse 6. Messiah would be hated without cause, Psalms 35, 19. Messiah would be crucified with criminals, Isaiah 53. Messiah would be given vinegar to drink, Psalms 69, 21. Messiah would be mocked and ridiculed in Psalms 22, 7. And soldiers would gamble for his garments in Psalms 22. His bones would not be broken in Exodus. He would be forsaken by God in Psalms 22. He would pray for his enemies in Psalms 109. He would be pierced. His side would be pierced in Zechariah 12. He would be buried with the rich in Isaiah 53. His resurrection from the dead would happen in Psalms 16:10, and he would be a sacrifice for our sins in Isaiah 53:5. I'm not going to read all 300, but you get my point this morning. In this book that you can find even in the secular world, it's The Science Speaks by Peter Stoner, applies the modern science of probability to just 8 of these prophecies regarding Christ. And he says, the chance that any man might have fulfilled the 8 prophecies is 1 in 10 to the 17th. That would be 100 quadrillion of a chance. that that could ever happen. And if that doesn't really put it into perspective, just the same chance that the prophets would have had of writing those eight prophecies and having them all come true in any one man, providing they wrote them in their own wisdom. There's just no way this happened by chance. So after everything had been accomplished here, after everything had been fulfilled, this is where Jesus says these words, "I'm thirsty." So how about you this morning? Are you thirsty today? Jesus said, "Come to me, all of you who are thirsty. Come to me, whoever drinks of the water that I will give shall never, ever thirst again." Come. I'm telling you this morning, this morning is the time to come today. If you are thirsty this morning, then drink from the well where you will never, ever thirst again. Amen. These prophecies have been fulfilled, and many others have been fulfilled today. I believe we're closer than ever, ever before. And I know many have preached that for hundreds and thousand years, that Jesus is coming. The prophecies have been fulfilled. Do we understand that? Do we comprehend that Jesus is coming again? He's coming to take His church. He's coming to take His church. Amen. That's exciting to me. I don't get all jumped up and down, but I'm excited about that thought. That Jesus is coming. It should excite all of us as believers today. If you're not a believer today, then come and drink of that well today. Amen. Let's pray. Heavenly Father, Lord, I thank You for this day You've given us, Lord. Lord, I know there's a day coming when all of this prophecy that's been fulfilled, Lord, and we'll see You face to face, coming in Your glory. You're coming to get us, Your church. So Lord, I thank You for what You're doing and what You're going to do. Lord, I pray for those that are lost among us. Lord, help us to lead them to You so that they can drink of that well and never thirst again. I praise You and thank You. In Jesus' name, amen. 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 Well, thank you so much this morning. A wonderful service today. Thank you for them young girls that came and sang. You guys did a great job.